first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions. That's first of all what we ought to be doing in the church. The world does not know how to do that. They don't know what in the world we're talking about, talking to a God that you cannot see. They think we're crazy. See, y'all talking to yourselves. See, I can't join you. No. We as Bible-believing Christians, we know what this prayer thing is all about, and we know the power of prayer. So first of all, and by the way, preachers, pastors, evangelists, all of you prophets and doctors and bishops and archbishops, divines and queens and kings and first ladies, second ladies, lady this and lady that, I'm talking to all y'all. If you're not praying, you're not doing anything. If you're not praying, you're playing. Yeah, this is first of all. We have too many Christians, too many preachers busy doing everything under the sun but praying. Now, I know what I'm talking about here. I know many preachers. And I've had preachers, some of the greatest preachers known to mankind, have honestly, humbly admitted that's one area that they're very weak in. Many pastors are that way. One of the reasons why is because they're gifted in so many ways. They're general practitioners, the pastors. They have multiple gifts, multiple talents. While eating at the Mexican restaurants, where for some reason pastors like to take me when I visit, they tell me this. They come under heavy conviction because normally my first message in a revival meeting, so-called revival meetings, is on prayer. And they'll sometimes gather the wife and go to the altar. They'll be the first ones down at the altar. God bless their hearts. At least they're honest. But this is what we ought to be doing first of all. Not methods and plans and strategies, but prayer. Most churches, I fear today, bless your heart, they are operating on strategy, methods, these so-called great ideas that they have. And they are glorified motivational speakers. They're communicators. They're not preachers. And you can gather some folks around like that. But there's no power. So first of all, and if you don't get anything else I have said, get this, and we can pretty much shut down now. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. All men, not only for the president, but all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That's what we need. That's what we need right there. We need that kind of living. Godliness, honesty, and peace. I'm for peace, David said, and I say with him. But when I speak, they are for war. I love peace. I love quietness, man. I told my wife a long time ago, if you don't start nothing, there won't be nothing. And I meant that thing, because I love peace. I like peace. I like quiet. Believe it or not, I'm an introverted person. I don't like to do a whole lot of talking. I don't like a whole lot of noise, a whole lot of racket. I don't like things out of order. I like peace, man. And you're not going to have peace unless you have some godliness. And you're not going to have godliness and honesty unless you have some prayer somewhere. Somewhere. You say, preacher, are you happy? Yes. Preacher, do you have joy? Yes. Are you cheerful, preacher? Yes. Yes. But the only reason why I am is because I pray by the grace of God. You say, preacher, are you still married? Yes, 33 years. Oh, you think you're special because you have a wonderful marriage. I didn't say I have a wonderful marriage. I said I'm still married. And the only reason why I'm still married is because of God. Because God does not play. He does not play. And see, and I learned that a long time ago. And so I pray. And the only reason why our family is still together is because of God and Jesus and prayer. I urge Sarah Palin and her husband to try before they go to the divorce court. For this is good. When God says something is good, it's good. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God and Savior, who will have all men to be saved. God wants everybody to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. How many of you got family members? You want them to be blessed like you're being blessed. You want them to enjoy their lives like you're enjoying yours, but they're full of hell and the devil. And they won't repent. They won't change. And so they can't be blessed. They can't have what you have. It's the same thing with God. God wants everybody to be saved and blessed and enjoy the good life and go to heaven to boot. But they refuse to repent. They love their sin more than they love God. And we got some folks in the church like that. For there is one God, make no mistake about it, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ. One of the problems we have in the church today, we have so-called volunteers who are pastoring churches, and they need to sit down. I love everybody. I ain't mad at nobody. But we got some volunteers. Say, I volunteer to be a pastor. No, you need to volunteer in another area. But you don't need to be the pastor. Pastors are called. Preachers, all good preachers are called by God. And if you're called by God, you're going to preach. You're not going to communicate. You're going to preach, man. Don't you get mad with me. Just hang in there with me. Speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, not unholy hands that's been on a woman that's not your wife, not unholy hands that's been on a man that's not your husband, not unholy hands that helped you to get drunk, not holy hands that made you high, not unholy hands that made you high, unholy hands looking at pornography, little fingers, your unholy fingers typing up lustful things. Holy hands. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you. Lord, we've already heard your sermon today. I can pretty much close down. But in the words of Raymond Hancock, I think I'll go on a little further. By your grace, I'm sure there are people listening, Lord, across this country and around the globe who would love me to hurry up and finish this sermon that I've been preaching on for the past 3 weeks. I still may not finish it today, but grant me your grace to at least say one more thing that will help the saints and certainly help the sinners. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, Patrick Henry, one of the founding fathers, famous for saying, "Give me liberty or give me death," wrote in his last will and testament, "This is all the inheritance I can give my dear family. The religion of Christ can give them one which will make them rich indeed." The faith of Christ. What a legacy. Our dear brother and our dear friend, Leonard Ravenhill, said, "No man is greater than his prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is playing. The people who are not praying are straying. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. Many players and payers, few prayers. Many singers, few clingers. Lots of pastors, few wrestlers. Many fears, few tears. Much fashion, little passion. Many interferers, few intercessors. Many writers, but few fighters. Failing here, we fail everywhere." Amen, somebody. My beloved, in our last message, we began looking at why one of the most important reasons why we ought to pray for all men and for government officials and leaders. And did you know that our government officials are ministers of God as well? That's why you ought to respect them. And the greatest show of respect for them is to pray for them. You don't have to get in their camp, man. Christians, we're already in our camp, the camp of the Lord. You don't have to go and sell your soul to some political party or to some president to show your support for them. The greatest show of support for anybody, the greatest show of love for anybody, is to pray for them. We don't need preachers in politics, man. Politics is a lying business. And I don't care who likes it or lumps it or you can choke on it. Politics is a lying business. And the last thing a preacher ought to be is a liar. End up defending liars. Let the politicians lie. You pray. And so, beloved, in our last message, we began looking at why one of the most important reasons why we ought to pray for all men and for government leaders is so that they can be saved. I have some outside enemies. I also have some inside enemies. And if you don't have both, you're probably not doing anything for God. The devil's going to make sure you got some enemies in your family, in your ministry, some Judases in your church, but also enemies on the outside who can't stand what you stand for. But God told me to pray for them to be saved. You say, "Well, preacher, when did he tell you?" He told me that today while I was praying. He said, "Pray for them. Pray for them to get saved." Not only that, have you witnessed to your lost enemies? Have you shared the gospel with your lost enemies? He said, "Do it." That's what I want you to do. Witness to your lost enemies. That's the best way. And pray for them. That's the best way to have your lost enemies to become your saved friends. Amen, somebody. They need to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Because if we truly want to make America godly again and thus great again, and it is not great now, okay, please. Please, please, please. It will not be done through legislation, but through spiritual transformation. Let's continue looking at how praying for our nation will lead us back to greatness. And this is the only way back. It's not through politics. It's not through a financial boom that basically causes us to keep on sinning more. taking more vacations to the Bahamas with our girlfriends and boyfriends who are not our spouses, committing homosexuality, the abomination of homosexuality, which produces more lies and hypocrisy, even in the church. You say, why did this catastrophe happen in the Bahamas? Listen, people, you can say what you please. There are things happening in this world that God allows to happen to warn people of their evil ways. A whole lot of sin goes on in the Bahamas. I love the Bahamas. A whole lot of good goes on down there. A whole lot of sin goes on everywhere. A whole lot of sin goes on in New Orleans. That's what happened with Katrina. Warning. It is a miracle and the showing forth of the mercy of God that a portion of New Orleans is still in existence. But they better take heed and confess sin and repent and remember. Because God can allow things to happen to wipe out the whole thing. He's done it in the past. He wants you and he wants me and all of us to remember Sodom and Gomorrah. Keep on doing evil. The will of God. Grind slow, but my beloved, it grinds show. And America's getting hers too. God's not through. God is very loving, very merciful. Somebody prayed for Florida. Somebody. One lady says she sent some thoughts, and over here the thoughts are not going to get it. Somebody prayed. And they better thank God. Because Dorian was not playing. Paul writes that praying for all men, and especially government officials, is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Amen, somebody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, God wants you to be saved. It's wonderful to send water and food to the Bahamas. Boxes, and right now they have boxes and boxes of stuff stacked up. People can't even use it. Some of the stuff is spoiling. And yes, Mr. Trump, you ought to open the borders to the people. Let them in. They have no place to go. They're really hurting. But the church ought to be there, first of all, to pray for them. Second of all, to witness to them and tell them about Jesus. As soon as they get off the ship, they ought to get a gospel tract, a witness from the Lord. Now regarding this particular verse, Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, what is God's will? What is God's will? The salvation of lost souls. We can pray for all men because it is God's will that all men come to the knowledge of salvation and of the truth through faith in Jesus Christ. God loved the world and Christ died for the whole world, everybody, every lost soul. Black and white, red and yellow, we're all precious in God's sight. Jesus died on the cross that he might draw all men to salvation. This does not mean necessarily all people will get saved. Why? I already told you why. There are people who love their sin more than they love God. And they want to stay in their sin. And sin is a very powerful thing. Most of us know about that. How we can get caught up in relationships, buddy. Be so good to us. We don't want to let go of it. But they're evil. In fact, one of the reasons why they're so good to us is because they are evil. They're wrong as hell. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. We love taking off and meeting up with somebody we ought not to be meeting up with down in the Bahamas, sitting on the beach with our bad selves. Not only in the Bahamas, but in Jamaica Land, Cancun, many other places where sin is taking place, rendezvous from Satan. And what God wants us to do is repent. I'm talking about Christian folk need to repent. You know who you are. Confess sin and repent. Turn from our evil ways. Humble ourselves before God and get back to our first love, Jesus Christ. And then witness to the lost at any cost. And tell somebody about Jesus. And with that said, dear friend, I have to go. I still have over half of this message to go, but I have to go. I have another appointment in about a half an hour. But before I go, I have a question for you. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, if you're with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand that you are a sinner, just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws. I want you to hear me well down in the Bahamas. We thank God for all of our followers and listeners and watchers down there in the Bahamas, all across the Caribbean, as I like to call it. Some say the Caribbean. We love you. But God is speaking to you down in Puerto Rico. You need to trust Christ as Savior, lest you get blown away with the wind, gone with the wind. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have done evil. We all have done wrong. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Yes, Virginia, there is a hell. Nobody takes any joy in telling you that, but it is true. There is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain, and Jesus is sweet. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. I repeat, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Here's the good news. Hell is the bad news. Here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the Bahamas. For God so loved Puerto Rico. For God so loved America. For God so loved Canada. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So I pray for you to trust Christ as Savior today. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. That is the gospel. Trust Christ as your Savior before it is eternally too late. Today, my dear friends, you can walk into a Walmart and get your brains blown out. Today, my friend, you can be in a postal truck doing your job and get not only robbed, but killed. Today, you can think that you can ride out a little tropical storm and be blown away and gone with the wind. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I hope you have learned by now, you can be here 1 second and gone the next. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, and thou, you shalt be saved. There's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain, and you can get to heaven, and you can avoid that hell by believing on Christ. Romans 10:9 in the Holy Bible and 13 says that if thou, you, shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you, shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell, man, woman. For whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. So trust in Christ today. Believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. Please follow me in prayer, what we call the sinner's prayer. That's what you are, a sinner. I know it's hard to take, but it's true. It's true. So pray. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I've done wrong in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. For I have lied before. I've stolen things before. I've dishonored and disrespected my parents before. I've disrespected you by taking your holy name in vain. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, not your feelings, not my ideas, the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell, and you are on your way to heaven. So welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, beloved, God loves you. We love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.